stay on. She got not just a bad cold, but as happened with Colleen, the chemicals that were downstairs have just overwhelmed her. So last night I said, Sue, I'm not going to talk to you as your husband, but as your pastor right now, you're not preaching tomorrow. And I'll preach. And she says, what will you preach? And I said, I don't know. The return of Noah's Ark. That's good. Thank you, John. The hecklers are supposed to be in the balcony, John. Well, listen, I do have a word that God's been placing on my heart for quite some time, at least for about the last 3 weeks or so, since everything erupted and has upended the world as we know it, with a future that is unknown and unseen. This morning I want to share a message on Israel. God's miracle continues. And if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. And as you're turning to that, I just want us to also be aware that this coming Wednesday, one of our mission partners is Rick Wismer. Rick Wismer serves with Youth for Christ, and he ministers to the various First Nations communities that surround Sydney and the peninsula. And Rick sent me a message yesterday. You'll be receiving more information this coming week. But he writes this, greetings. We will be getting together this Wednesday to pray for youth at Sayut and Sachem Nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reminds us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We plan to meet on Wednesday night, November 2nd at 7 p.m. in the Save On Food parking lot in Sydney. Look for the Silver Ford Transit parked near or next to Beacon Avenue. We will be praying as the Lord leads for the communities. We would love to have you join us as part of our road team, but if you choose to pray from home, do join in praying from 7 to 8:30. And we'll be sending you a Zoom link where you can Zoom in live to the prayer time. For those praying from home, I have created a Zoom link that you can join us from the beginning, 7 to 7:15, and then from 8 to 8:30. I believe God is saying to us, it's time. It's time to pray. It's time to give, and it's time to go. Our theme for this morning as we conclude Givetober is together we go. It's not just individuals like Rick or Wayne and Ann Hilston in Israel or the Rortas in Hong Kong and the various other partners that we support. No. But as we pray, as we give, as we go, we do it all together. We're on the same team. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. The Greek literally means, as you go, make disciples. Everywhere you go, at school, at work, on the assembly line, in the office, at the bank, in the grocery store, with your family, we are to go and preach and be the gospel wherever we find ourselves. Together we go. Together we give. Together we pray. In fact, as we give, as you came in, you would have seen the offering box. We also have in the in in through the library into the office a debit machine where you can fill out an envelope. And on top of your tithes and offerings, there is a spot there for missions. And if you would like to give to missions, you can put that on the line. And we thank you for that. We thank you that together we can give. Together we pray. And together we go. And this morning, bear with me as we go together to Israel. In fact, we're going to go back in time about 2,500 years, about 500 years before Jesus walked the earth, when Israel found itself in bondage in Babylon. The days looked dark. The days looked impossible. The situation seemed hopeless. But God, through his prophet, gave the people this word. In verse 1 of chapter 37 of Ezekiel, "The hand of the Lord is on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe, come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we're cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, and as we focus on your word and, Lord, what you have laid on your servant's heart, Holy Spirit, only you can convey this message with the power and anointing that is necessary. Only you can open our ears to hear what you are saying to the church today. Only you can open our eyes to see the way that we should go. Only you can anoint our feet that we would be prepared to go and serve Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. David Ben-Gurion was the primary national founder and first prime minister of Israel. He had this to say about his country: "In Israel, in order to be a realist, you must believe in miracles." Now, this morning I have two confessions. My first confession is that this is the second time I have preached this message. The first time was 6 years ago, upon the anniversary of Israel's 70th year as a modern nation. It also coincided with Pentecost Sunday, and this scripture just seemed to go together for that day. With recent events happening and changing literally by the second, I have been praying, God, what would you have me to say, and when would you have me to say it? And I felt so compelled by the Spirit yesterday, of all places, would you believe, on the golf course. Mike and I, my son, were out playing golf. And it was there on the sixth tee that I felt God speaking and whispering into my heart to bring this message again. Now, some of you are shaking your head. Listen. Holy Spirit is wherever we are. He is wherever we are. And when he chooses to speak to you, whether it's in the line at Walmart, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's at work, I want you to be aware, he does speak, he will speak. Are we listening? Are we listening? And so I want to share this message again as it applies to what is happening around us. I do not know. I want to say right from the very beginning, I do not know if this present crisis will be the catalyst to usher in the rapture and the return of Jesus. I do know that what we are witnessing today is part of God's prophetic word coming to pass. I do know we are witnessing a miracle taking place. A miracle of God's promise, provision, and power for his people Israel. I do know that right now, more than ever, we need to understand God's plan for Israel, the church, and how to effectively respond to the present crisis today. On Saturday, October 7th, on the Sabbath, Israeli Jews throughout Israel were quietly going about their business, preparing for Shabbat. Families were gathered for their meals, children playing in their playgrounds without a care in the world. Young adults were gathered at an outdoor concert just for fun, dancing and music, a time of celebration. Things were good. Families, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, boys and girls, young people, all simply going about their lives when in a moment, in the flash of a bomb, everything was upended. Hamas terrorists emerged from their caves and tunnels in a surprise attack, mercilessly murdering every Jewish Israeli in their path. Children, slaughtered. Dads protecting their families, murdered. And at the concert, young people murdered. Young women raped, mutilated, killed by these terrorists. Approximately right as of today, there are 220 men, women, young and old, as young as 3 years old, were kidnapped from their homes and taken somewhere into Gaza or the underground maze of tunnels. There were that day 1,400 Jewish murders. More Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust. We all sat stunned as we watched the pictures and the story unfold on the news waves and the internet. In response, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with his political coalition partners and declared war on the terrorist organization called Hamas. The sole mission of Hamas is to eradicate Israel and to kill as many Jews as possible. What happened on October 7th resulted in the greatest mass killing since the Holocaust. Hezbollah, very quickly, another terrorist organization stationed in the south of Lebanon, began to send missiles to the north of Israel. Both Hezbollah and Hamas have the same mission, to push Israel into the sea. When you hear that song, from sea to sea, Palestine shall be free, that is what it's all about. That motto, that song, is all about eradicating the Jews. To date, over 8,000 people and counting have died because of the resultant bombings. And these deaths will grow exponentially once the ground attacks commence. Everyone's asking the same question around the world. Why? Why is this happening? Why now? Why Israel? Doesn't God care? Where is he? If these are God's people, why isn't he protecting them? And how is Canada responding? And what about the church in Canada? How ought we to respond in this crisis? As a church, I boldly declare that we stand with Israel. Our fellowship, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, stands with Israel. I am proud to pastor a church that supports ministries in Israel. One of those partners is Wayne and Ann Hilston, who have served in Israel for over 40 years. Jeff Feuders, who we have had a number of times, serves as executive director of First Century Foundations. Serving his ministry is serving both Jewish and Arab communities, presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, we cannot and must not take our relationship with Israel for granted. And how it broke my heart this week watching the news as hundreds of young people from my hometown in Scarborough be let out of school by their teachers, by the school board. To protest Israel, to praise Gaza and Hamas, and sing that chorus, from sea to sea, Palestine will be free. I want to say something to all the young people that are here today. As your pastor, I love you. And because of that love, I need to share with you. Not everything that you hear on TikTok and Instagram is true. And when you hear that, and when you are becoming involved in that, you are becoming involved in anti-Semitism of the worst kind. Now, I want to go on record to say that not all Palestinian Arabs are part of Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. There are many in Gaza and the West Bank who simply want to live their lives in peace. In fact, did you know that there are approximately 5 million Arab Israelis who are citizens of Israel, who live, work, raise their kids in Israel, and they just want to live in peace in Israel? Well, then what is this conflict all about anyway? What is it? Well, to answer that question, we must address another important question. That is, why is Israel such a big deal anyway? Israel is smaller than the state of New Jersey, yet no other nation commands so much attention as Israel. It's no wonder that the late Pastor Adrian Rogers wrote, "Israel is a God-ordained, God-called, God-protected, and God-blessed nation." What's the big deal about Israel? Well, first of all, Israel is at the geographic center of the world. Ezekiel 5:5 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I placed her at the center of the nations. God calls Israel the navel of the earth. She is strategically located at the hub of three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Napoleon once said that whoever controls the land of Israel would control the world. It is the geographic center. Secondly, it's the revelation center. From this land, the land of Abraham and Moses, the prophets and the apostles, from this land came the word of God. All except for the Gospel of Luke, every book in the Old and New Testament was written by Jewish teachers, prophets, kings, poets, disciples, and leaders. It's the spiritual center of the world. There are three world religions who claim Israel as the land of its beginning: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All claiming that Abraham was key to its origin. It's the prophecy center. The land of Israel is the only land belonging to God's people, the Jews. The details of their future are minutely recorded in the Bible. And if you want to know what God is doing in the world today, study Israel and her people, because Israel is the bellwether of prophecy. It's also the storm center. The Middle East, specifically Israel, is the world's greatest trouble spot. The Bible says in Zechariah 12:3, Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone for all people of all the world. And we've been seeing that since 1948, haven't we? But while it's the storm center, Israel also is the peace center. Psalm 122:6 says, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we have seen the sorrow and horror as Israel is once again faced by its enemies and its possible destruction once again. And if the events of the past 3 weeks say anything, it's a reminder to us in the West of two things: that we will never understand the depths of this conflict apart from God. Secondly, true peace, lasting peace, is not going to come as the result of politicians coming and forging a document. No, true lasting peace in the Middle East and the world will come when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, returns and he rules and reigns from Jerusalem. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. One day Israel will be the glory center. When Jesus returns and all nations of the world come to Jerusalem to worship, Jerusalem will be the capital city, not just of Israel, but the entire world. And the word of the Lord will go forth from Zion. Jesus will reign from Jerusalem. Yes, Israel is absolutely center to God's plan for the nations, for the world, and for everything. As Pastor Greg Laurie points out, Israel occupies center stage in God's drama of the ages. So when did all this begin? 1948? 1918? 1936? When did it all start? Well, as we read a few moments ago, it actually started about 2,500 years ago. There, in Babylon, Ezekiel is pondering the fate and future of his people, the Jews. God has called his people out of captivity in Egypt. For over 400 years, they had been in captivity in Egypt. God brought them into the promised land and gave them a land, a king, and made them a nation. But they turned against God to follow idols and the nations of the world. And so God, as he foretold, allowed Babylon to come and take them into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC and his Babylonian army invaded Judea. They had reduced Solomon's temple to ashes and taken as many of the Jewish people back to Babylon as captives. 10 long years had transpired, and with each day, hope was waning. How could Israel ever again fulfill her call and destiny? As far as Ezekiel was concerned, it was hopeless. The nation of Israel was dead. There was no hope. They would never return home. But God, isn't that awesome to know that when your situation seems hopeless, when all seems lost, but God, hallelujah, God still had a vision and plan for Israel. And he gives Ezekiel this vision in chapter 37. And in verse 1, Ezekiel is carried by the Spirit to see a valley full of very dry bones. Imagine this scene with me. Bones scattered everywhere. It's a mess, a chaotic mess. Israel can't see much hope for his people. So God says, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. There was a time when the return of the Jewish people to their homeland seemed unthinkable, impossible. But God said it would happen. And it did. On May 14th, 1948, a modern-day miracle took place when David Ben-Gurion stood up to declare that Israel was a nation again. He made this statement in Tel Aviv, Ezekiel, reading from Ezekiel 37, stating, Ezekiel has been fulfilled, and the nation Israel is hearing the footsteps of the Messiah. Hallelujah. Israel is a miracle. It's a miracle of creation. In Genesis 18, verse 18, God gave to Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the promise of a son and descendants. He said, Abraham, your son, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. And God kept his word. Israel's a miracle of preservation. Not only did God bring Israel into being as a miracle nation, but he keeps Israel as a miracle nation. Psalm 89 shows God's heart. Yes, our protection comes from the Lord, and he, the Holy One of Israel, has given us a king. Long ago, you spoke in a vision to your faithful people. You said, I have raised up a warrior. I have selected him from the common people to be king. I have found my servant David. I have anointed him with my holy oil. I will steady him with my hand, with my powerful arm. I will make him strong. His enemies will not defeat him, nor will the wicked overpower him. I will beat down his adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him, and by my authority he will grow in power. My friend, as God speaks through David, he is speaking to you and I today that one day David is going to sit on that throne again. That David will be his descendant, Jesus. And there will be nothing that will rob Israel of its place again. God will forever protect and preserve his people. For his love is unconditional and irrevocable. I will never stop loving him, nor fail to keep my promise from him. you can no more destroy the Jewish race than you can destroy the sun, the moon, and stars. Jeremiah 31:35 confirms this. It is the Lord who provides the sun to light the day and the moon and stars to light the night, who stirs the sea into roaring waves. His name is the Lord of heaven's armies. And this is what he says: I am as likely to reject my people, Israel, as I am to abolish the laws of nature. This is what the Lord says: just as the heavens cannot be measured and the foundations of the earth cannot be explored, so I will not consider casting them away for the evil they have done. I, the Lord, have spoken. If you want to get rid of the nation of Israel, you will have to get rid of the sun, the moon, and the universe. God is saying, I will never cast off Israel. It's a miracle nation. And every Jewish person today, alive today, is here because of God's keeping, preserving power upon his chosen people. Israel is a miracle of restoration. Through the prophet Amos, God said, I will bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands. They will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them again. They will plant vineyards and gardens. They will eat their crops and drink their wine. I will firmly plant them there in their own land. They will never again be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord. I want you to think of these key dates. 70 AD. Before that, actually, Jesus had prophesied that the city of Jerusalem would be overrun and destroyed by the Gentiles. In 70 AD, that prophetic word was fulfilled as Rome marched in and devastated the city, taking down the temple stone by stone. From then until 1948, the Jewish people have been spread throughout the then known world, traveling as far into Europe, into Africa, into Asia as they could go, without a home, without a place, without a name. Yet for all those years, they were able to maintain their culture. They maintain their customs. They maintain their language. They continue to celebrate the Passover in homes. They built synagogues where they could come and worship Jehovah God and practice their faith. Over 1,000 years went by. In 1917, Lord Balfour announced in Great Britain before the Senate there, declaring and announcing the intention of Great Britain to facilitate the establishment in Palestine, a national home for the Jewish people. In 1922, the League of Nations granted Britain a mandate over what was called Palestine, which included, among other things, provisions calling for the establishment of a Jewish homeland, facilitating Jewish immigration, and encouraging Jewish settlement. In 1936, the British Royal Commission, the Peel Commission, was meant to study the Palestine situation. It recommended a partition state between Jews and Arabs. The Jews accepted it, the Arabs rejected it. During this time, between the 30s and the mid-40s, Hitler and the Nazis commenced their final solution in killing 6 million Jews. In 1947, after World War II, on November 29th, the United Nations partitioned Palestine into two states, one Jewish, one Arab. Again, the Jews accepted the terms, but the Arabs rejected it. Then, in 1948, May 14th, the British mandate ended, and the state of Israel, under Ben David Gurion, declared that Israel is a nation. You know what happened? Oh, there was party all over the world. Confetti falling down from the sky, balloons popping. No, it wasn't balloons popping, it was armies and bombs as every Arab state around Israel marched in the very next day to decimate this fledgling country. And by the miracle work hand of God, Israel prevailed. Again in 1973, on Yom Kippur, Egypt and Syria and the Arab nations again commenced to invade. God once again, his hand upon his people, decimated the enemy armies. Isaiah 66:8 says, Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. And the world witnessed that miracle. And we've been witness to a miracle ever since. What does this mean for you and me? What does this miracle, the miracle of Israel, mean to me? Three things. What can we learn from the dry bones? The promise of God for Israel gives us new faith. It reminds us that nothing is impossible with God. If he can do it for Israel, he will answer you and he'll answer me. He gives us new hope. For true hope comes from God alone. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. He gives us new hope. He gives us new life, because only God can produce spiritual life. God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. And when he did, something happened. They started to rattle. They started to shake. They started to shake, rattle, and roll. As they came together in his vision, standing as one mighty army, ready for battle. And then God says to Ezekiel, speak to the breath being the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit comes upon this army, new life begins. And that's what God wants to do. Eventually, Israel will come to Messiah. When Jesus returns, they will bow and declare him Lord, Yeshua Yamashia, their Savior, their God and King. But my friends, today, if you are tired, if you feel lifeless, if you feel hopeless, God by his Holy Spirit wants to breathe in you today new life. He wants to give you true hope. He wants to give you a new faith, because nothing is impossible with God. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So how do we respond today? Very quickly, and then we're going to pray. How do you and I respond to the present crisis? I borrow this next few points from Wayne Hilston, who is the director of FIRM, the Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries. This is what Wayne Hilston recommends that we do. Number one, as you look at the crisis unfolding, don't let fear captivate your heart, but let it touch your heart. Romans 12:15 says, weep with those who weep. You see, godly empathy should grip our hearts as we witness the grim reality of war. As followers of Jesus, God invites you and I to experience his love for Israel and the Palestinian families at even a deeper level through our tears and through our prayer. Secondly, focus on God's narrative. God has an enduring covenant of promise for Israel, and he will fulfill that promise. recognize the true pathway to peace. Seasons of natural peace may come and go, but we acknowledge that true and lasting peace can only come through Jesus Christ. And we all desire that both Israelis and Palestinians encounter the saving love of Jesus, the only source of true peace. Next, stand with the local believers. Stand with local believers. We can stand with the body of Jesus in Israel to lift up their arms and encourage believers in this region as we pray. Right now, this moment, both Messianic Jews and Arab Christians are mobilizing together to meet emergency needs that are growing daily as a result of war. In fact, you can go to paoc.org, missions, or to ERDO, and you can help support the relief effort in Israel today. Next. Pursue sound doctrine and understanding. The time is coming. In fact, I think the time is now when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Listen to me very carefully as your pastor. I say this because of my love and the charge I have over you as your pastor today. Do not take everything you hear on YouTube as the gospel truth. If anything seems out of place, if anything seems, that's kind of scratching an itch. If it's making you more angry than prayerful, go to this. We need to go to the Word, not YouTube. Our first place to go for truth is this book. It is God's Word that will lead us into all truth. Recognize the true nature of the conflict. Ephesians 6:12, and I'll be preaching a series on this as the Lord wills in the new year. Recognize the true nature, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. At the core of this conflict is a much deeper battle. It's a spiritual battle. Recognize it for what it is. And then finally, stand for truth and justice with biblical clarity. We must stand true on the principles of God's word, call evil for what it is. This war is not against the Palestinian people or Gaza as a whole. It's a response against Hamas, a terrorist organization that's vowed to destroy the nation of Israel. As we pray God's protection upon Israel, that he'll be true to his word in protecting, preserving, and empowering them. But we also pray, God, be with those innocents. Be with those 220 innocent young men and women and children who have been taken captive. May they be released without harm. God help them. And so today, together, we will pray. Let's stand. Our Father and God, we come to you today in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we confess to you. Lord, we haven't prayed enough. We have not called upon you enough. We confess to you, Lord, that out of our ignorance, we have failed to stand up for your people. And Lord, today, we ask not just for your forgiveness, but for your empowerment to stand true to your word, to stand true in your promise, to stand true in prayer as we pray for your people today, that your hand would be upon that nation, its leaders. The armies as they prepare to proceed into Gaza. Lord God, we just ask God that, Lord, if it be your will, would you even bring, Lord, a miracle stoppage to this? But Lord, whatever happens, Lord, we commit to you and pray your protection upon the people, the armies, and the citizens, God, who are caught in the middle. God, we pray. We pray that your will be done today in Jerusalem as we pray for its peace right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you remain standing? The worship team is going to come, and we have one last song.